Bradley Basker. Stats Adam.
Live from the K-Wer Studios here at Washington University in St. Louis. Bedtime Sports with Brad and Brad. Brad Lewis is away this week again. Let's win a game.
Hi, Dr. Jeff here.
What's up, Milo?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Join the Facebook page, Bedtime Sports with Brad and Brad.
It's Bedtime Sports with Brad and Brad, with Brad and Stats Adam.
Episode number 85, and Daniel Weiner's third in the last 4 weeks.
Sounds about right. I also did a show, I think, a couple years back, but that's in the archive.
So wait, you're 4 or 5 out of the 85 as well?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Not bad.
Watch
I like
out,
it,
Brad. Watch out.
I think you're in third place. Well, I guess fourth behind Brad, and Stats Adam. I like that. I guess I'm going third person today. All right, so we have a lot on the docket today for Bedtime Sports here on KWUR, Clayton 90.3 FM. Of course, Bradley Basker. Oh, another golf tournament today for Mr. Basker. I know he is really hitting the links a lot. I think because, you know, he feels like a senior citizen. So, as a senior here on Washington University's campus. So, I think that's, we'll see what's going on with the next few weeks. Might not have a show next week because of Wild. Couple weeks we're still trying to figure out, but we may have some joint co-hosts for next week if Daniel wants to step in. He might be able to do a solo. No, I'm joking. You could have seen his face
with Daniel and himself.
It sounds good. Well, that could still mean any other Daniel you want as well. Daniel and himself.
Well, I do know a lot of Daniels.
Exactly. So there are quite a few Daniels on this campus. A few that you live with, and a few that we know, and yeah, we could figure that out. So that'll be for next week, but for this week, we still have yet to tip off the NBA playoffs, and we know that is arguably one of our favorite times of the year. This might be our March Madness. If anything, I like this better than the marathon first few days of March Madness. I like the 4 straight games in a row on both Saturday and Sunday. They do this every year. It's amazing. It's one of the best days just because you can sit in front of your couch and just, or sit in front of your TV on your couch. Thank you, sit in front of your couch. That'd be interesting. And enjoy NBA basketball, the best product of basketball in the world. It's fantastic.
I completely agree. I think the best day to me, at least, is opening day of baseball.
Ooh.
Just so much promise. Well, maybe not for Mets fans, but for everyone else. So much promise.
I felt I would have gone for something. I would have said to Alex, to any of the Mets fans, obviously, it's kind of like, I think there's a Family Guy episode where Stewie is there for opening day, and I think the announcer goes, and it's the first pitch, and the season is over. So,
I mean, it sounds more like the Diamondbacks this
Ooh,
year.
Worst start. I think worst start in franchise history. So, yeah, surprising. Well, I guess going off to the 0-2 start didn't help out in that cricket field in Australia, I think it was, right?
Right, I guess the Diamondbacks just can't play in Australia. That's something you watch out for in the future.
Whoa, watch
big
out.
Trend. Big trend.
I know, when they go international, they're definitely going to Australia for 80 games. So I actually just posted an article on Bloomberg Sports about the success in the NBA. I thought we'd talk about that and then expand to the teams, the games, stuff like that, the futures. The keys to the NBA playoffs, or the keys to the NBA in general. Effective field goal percentage, because that includes the three-point shot. And the corner three-pointer, all right? So when you look at the corner three-pointer in the NBA, that is the determining factor in, honestly, the playoff teams. Phoenix Suns are the only team up there that has not been a playoff team. If anything, though,
they should
third best record if they were in the Eastern Conference. So I'm just going to use them as a guiding factor, even though they aren't in the playoffs as well, just guiding because of their corner three-pointer potential. Blazers, Spurs, Heat, Warriors, Clippers. That's your top five playoff teams in terms of corner three-point differential. That is their made minus their opponent made during the regular season. Portland Trailblazers, this is the reason why I think they're a sleeper this year, because they had the highest differential in terms of the corner three-pointer. That is a huge determining factor in success this season, you know, followed by some really successful teams in the Spurs, the Heat, the Warriors, and Clippers. Warriors, of course, don't have Bogut for the first round, most likely. Clippers are an interesting dark horse as well for me. As far as your keys to success, what do you think as far as the NBA playoffs go? What do you think?
I think, I mean, one big thing is just having the best player on the court. So that's really why I like the Thunder this year. Kevin Durant, obviously, going to be MVP. I think it's pretty much settled at this point. So that's one big thing. I think defense, obviously, defense wins championships is cliche, but it's very important. So that's why I like the Bulls to go pretty far this year.
Interesting.
And I think coaching is actually really important. I mean, Doc Rivers always knows what he's doing. Maybe Jason Kidd might not exactly know how to coach a basketball team in the playoffs.
I think the last time the Raptors and Nets faced off in a playoff series, Jason Kidd led them to victory in that series. I think it was like 2007 or something like that. And it's kind of just interesting that bringing everything back full circle. What's interesting is as you mentioned, the best player on the court is really interesting. That's usually a common answer. That was the beginning of my article. The Kevin Loves of the league, the Carmelo Anthonys, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, DeMarcus Cousins. Those are best players on the floor typically almost every night. Why did those teams not make the playoffs?
I mean, you can't do it by yourself. I mean, LeBron James couldn't do it by himself, and he's the best player of our generation. You have to have someone to go to. So, I mean, Kevin Durant, now that he has Russell Westbrook back this year, I think it's going to be a completely different story against the Grizzlies team. So you need someone because the defense can just key on you, double team you. I mean, LeBron James probably got triple teamed in Cleveland. He was going to pass to, like, Booby Gibson. So I think you need to have someone, but I think having the best player on the court with another two and then a solid three is exactly what you need to be a championship team.
All right, so what's really interesting is the group mentality. Of course, you talk about, I know on Inside the NBA, which I can't wait for in the playoffs, that's maybe one of my favorite times, is also that includes the first day. I think Shaq talks about the others. That might not pertain to the top three or top two players on a team like the Heat, for instance. Bosch, Wade, James, and the others. Are you thinking that a team like, this is really one of the reasons why I'm thinking Portland, or I'm thinking the Clippers, is because they have a lot of veteran savvy that kind of comes off the bench. You know, the Darren Collisons, you know, Danny Granger, who they got from Philly. I think what's interesting, that's with the Clippers. With Portland, you have guys who have been in the league a while now, like LaMarcus, like Robin Lopez, or Robin Lopez is kind of, has that younger veteran feel. Are players like that who aren't stars going to be able to bring those teams up to another level that you wouldn't expect, unlike a team like Miami who has lost Mike Miller and guys who really come in the punch, like, oh, even like Danny Green, guys who we haven't mentioned that much, don't get talked about that much.
I mean, that's the great thing about the playoffs is we talk about these role players and all of a sudden they become very important. Except for like LaMarcus Aldridge, I don't think he's been in the postseason, has he? So, I mean, he is a veteran in the regular season, but
interesting.
As far as the postseason goes, he has no experience. I mean, some players really turn it on the playoffs. Some teams really turn it off.
18 games career in the postseason for LaMarcus. That's it, though. I think you're still right in what you're saying. Portland snuck in the... Well, those were the Brandon Roy days.
Oh, of course.
I think it was because he wasn't the star. If anything, he's a top 10, top 20 player this year in the league.
Oh, he's great.
He ranged from the top because he did get injured at one point this season, and that's when they had their swoon. They also were struggling a little bit before then. And guys like here, this is what I was going to go into. The corner three-pointer guys this year, Trevor Ariza, Washington, Klay Thompson, Golden State, Joe Johnson, Brooklyn, Wesley Matthews, Portland, and Kyle Korver with Atlanta. All these guys, I don't think they're on teams that are in the upper echelon of the league. None of those teams are projected championship teams. That's Washington, Portland, Golden State, Brooklyn, and Atlanta. All teams that might be out in the first round.
So these are the top corner three?
The most corner three made in the league this season.
So maybe teams that win focus on driving to the paint, not as much on the three ball, because you never know what's going to happen day to day.
So it's more of a team mentality as opposed to one player shooting the lights out from the corner.
Or I mean, like, it could be one player, but if you have a big man or someone who actually drives into the paint, that's more stable than someone like Kyle Korver, who obviously is not a star. He's a three-pointer. For three-point shooter, but you really can't depend on him day-to-day to shoot his 50%, 40%. He could have an off day, and then your team loses in the playoffs. Every game matters so much. So maybe you have to focus on a player like LeBron James who can get to the basket, get fouled. You know he's going to get at least 10 points or so from the free throw line. So maybe that's what the most important factor is for success.
Well, what's interesting is that I feel like, and this is one last thing before we'll go into the specific matchups. LaMarcus Aldridge, we touched on him a little bit. I'm a little thrown off on trying to figure out if he is a player that can lead his team, because he's not going to bring out the ball down the floor. Unlike Blake Griffin, for instance, Blake Griffin can actually run a fast break almost any possession he wants to. You know, Chris Paul is not forcing him to give up the ball. Doc Rivers wants Blake to take the ball and go with it. LaMarcus is only going to be getting in the post, going to be getting it up on the, you know, the corner. Well, I guess the inside corner as far as the two pointer there, the elbow extended. Is he a guy that can will this team to victory in a series against a Houston team that's pretty strong? Right, we're actually going with that's the last game of the weekend actually here with Portland and Houston.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that matchup against Houston. I mean, you have Dwight Howard obviously in the post, but you also have Ashik. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
I think it's Ashik. Yeah, someone. Yeah.
Anyway, the guy who wanted to be traded when Dwight Howard came to the team, and now he could be a huge factor in this series. I mean, he's relatively athletic. He's tall. He can probably defend Aldridge pretty well. I think
interesting.
I think I saw a couple of clips where he pushed Aldridge out into maybe a 20-foot jump shot, and that's not Aldridge's game, really.
What's pretty interesting about the situation is I think I heard that Terrence Jones, who started for power forward for most of the season for Houston, had a great second year, quote-unquote, full first year in the NBA. Great. Fantastic. Had terrible performances against Portland. I think Houston played great against Portland this year, but the problem was that Terrence Jones was problematic. Ashik might be the guy who can step in, and that might be the reason for Houston winning. I think Portland ends up pulling off the upset because of all the outside shooting that they have. I think Houston's actually able to neutralize Dwight Howard, and Howard ends up not being able, just like what we'll see with Hibbert, he might not be able to be used in this series as much as I thought he would against another team. I do like Robin Lopez a lot better. He seems to be underrated. And I like Portland brought back mostly the same starting lineup from last year. Has arguably one of the best starting lineups in the league. They did fall off, and this is like my trend for the playoffs here. Teams that are underrated from falling off during the end of the regular season are not going to play as poorly as people think. I think that's where I'm going with. So a lot of my upsets come from teams who have struggled near the end of the regular season, like the Pacers.
Interesting. I'm more of a "what have you done for me lately" kind of guy. I think sports is all about trends, what's been going on lately. A lot about, I think basketball more than any other sport is a game of matchups, player against player, skill against skill. So I think that is kind of what went with my predictions, at least.
Interesting. So here, we'll actually go backwards then, and we'll move our way back to the Saturday afternoon games. So we'll start with Sunday night. That was Portland and Houston. Do you think that most likely Houston's going to win that first game? It just doesn't seem like... I just don't know if Portland is able to come out and take over and be a team that was like their first half of the season. Damian Lillard's an interesting X factor, though, because people, once again, this Portland team has fallen under the radar so much since LaMarcus got injured. Houston's a 5-point favorite in that game. But I don't know, I just feel like, I just don't think Portland's given as much credence or as much, you know, attention as they should.
By the way, did you see that Damian Lillard commercial for Foot Locker, the No Rings commercial?
I don't think so.
So he's sitting there and he's saying, you know, I don't want to be one of those players who doesn't get any rings. And then right next to him is, who is it? It's, at the end it's Karl Malone, but right next to him was, Chris Webber, I think.
Oh.
And then he keeps on, like, putting his foot in his mouth. Oh, I don't want to be one of those players who does this. And all of a sudden, like, Karl Malone shows up. I hate to break it, Damian Lillard, but he's not getting a ring or getting even close to a ring this year. I don't think the Blazers will even beat the Rockets in the first round.
I understand. Do you think it goes 6 or 7, though?
I think this is one of the toughest matchups, at least for me, to predict. I do think it'll go 6 or 7 games for sure. Both teams are very high scoring, both high octane offenses, so I'm pretty excited to see what will happen in that respect. Maybe they just both don't have very good defenses is one thing, but it'll be just interesting to see. I just think the Rockets have that size to help mitigate Aldridge's effect on the game, and I think that's going to be the difference in the series.
If Wesley Matthews can catch fire for a game or two, and then Lillard wins a game, LaMarcus wins a game, that's why I think they have a chance, and that's why I'm going with the upset in 7. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy for Portland to win. I love the home feel at the Moda Center. It used to be the Rose Garden when Brandon Roy was on his last legs, just willing them to victory. I know no playoff wins as far as LaMarcus's, Aldridge's teams. So it's an interesting situation for Portland. I just like them as a nice little dark horse for the second or make it a second or third, kind of like Memphis or Golden State the last few years.
Right.
But we're gonna see what happens there. We have an interesting. We already disagree, which is good. I think we'll. I don't know how many times we'll disagree today. But we do have another series, and I feel like we're both going one way here with Washington Chicago. It just doesn't seem like Washington is ready, even though this might be the year that they actually do it. You know, it's kind of like that. They're on the precipice of finally winning a playoff series here. I think the last time was like 2005 or something. It's just not. It's so close. Do you think they have a chance?
I don't think so. I mean, the Bulls are my pick to go farther than most people probably. I just love the Bulls' defense. And, I mean, Joakim Noah is having such a great year. And it's so great to see him basically be a point guard in the forward center
the
position.
The point center. I was exactly writing about that. It was hilarious. I love that. I don't think anybody ever uses that. The point forward, I think, is a blog on Sports Illustrated. But the point center, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Point center, I love it. So I think the Bulls are actually going to be able to handle the Wizards pretty easily. I mean, John Wall is obviously a great player. He's young. He has a lot of time to gain this experience and come back another year. I just don't think this is the Wizards' year. I mean, Beal is such a young player as well. That's who they're mostly depending on. I just think the Bulls have so much more experience. They have Kirk Heinrich, who I feel like every single year in the playoffs, he does something interesting. He's very integral to some team. I mean, he used to be with the Hawks, obviously with the Bulls before that, and now he's back. There are players like that. That's why I love the playoffs. Like Kirk Heinrich all of a sudden becomes the focus of my attention, which hasn't happened in a long time. So I think with that experience, Tom Thibodeau is a great coach. I think everything's in place for them.
And we'll get to talk about the Bulls and Wizards a little bit more after our first public service announcement.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. For free ideas on how to save, go to feedthepig.org.
All right. So when we're talking about the Wizards and Bulls, DJ Augustine might actually be a fantastic, just a fantastic guard to have alongside Kirk Heinrich, because Augustine has caught fire. He's actually been arguably one of the best Bulls players for the last few weeks. I know Taj Gibson has been fantastic off the bench for them, and it's interesting seeing the Boozer-Gibson dynamic. I know, of course, with Noah at the center position. What's interesting is I just got a text from Dr. Jeff, Michael and Scotty, not walking through that door. Wizards in six. I like this one as another really close series. I just don't know if the Bulls have the end of game scoring. They're the worst offensive team in the league. They are the worst. It's pathetic. I don't understand how a team. Well, I know I feel bad for them without Rose, but I think they're the worst. At least they're the worst shooting team. Scoring wise, set third to last. Okay, we'll give them against teams like Philadelphia, who's not really an NBA team. Orlando, barely an NBA team. It's pathetic.
I mean, they've gone better since the All-Star break. I had the stat here. It says for the All-Star break, they scored 97.7 points per 100 possessions.
Okay.
Now they're up to 103.3 after the break.
Hmm.
So they could have improved. I mean, a lot of these stats might just be because they do slow the ball down, so they probably don't score as much just because of time management.
The number I have is also offensive efficiency per 100 possessions. Okay. But if that says 103.3, that puts them right in the middle of the pack. That's around 15 to 18 or so. I think a lot of the teams are mixing in 103, 104. I like that. That's great to hear because the Bulls were one of the struggling teams in the first half of the season. I know they were even below the Celtics at one point, which is tough to do that early in the season. I know The Bulls have had a great second half. I'm trying to think of another team that makes me think. Brooklyn and Chicago. Yeah. Both teams have risen a lot. I know Brooklyn dropped a little bit. We'll talk about that to face the Raptors. And that's the reason why we have this matchup, the Bulls and Wizards. If that's really what they're saying, and then the Bulls have arguably had the second best defense to the Pacers all year, maybe the best defense since the Pacers have fallen off a little recently, that makes me want to change my pick a little bit. And that's why I think I go Bulls in seven then.
I mean, the Nets dropped the last two games just so they didn't have to play the Bulls. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Nets aren't stupid. They're doing this for a reason. The Bulls are a dangerous team. No one wants to play against arguably the league's best defense, at least in my opinion, the league's best defense. They're first in, I think, defensive efficiency.
The Bulls. Is that since when? Because I'm pretty sure the Pacers finished the season.
Since the All-Star break.
Oh, since the All-Star break. Thank you. Yeah, since the All-Star break. So that's pretty interesting. I do like that. If they're middle of the pack, if their team, which we think is pretty much stayed whole, they went through the Rose phase, they went through a few different phases, they got Augustine, and then they came into their hole where Noah has, I think top 5 or top 10 in touches in the NBA. That doesn't happen too often from a big man. Yeah, I think that's why I go with the Bulls in 7. Do you have them in a fewer in 6 or 5?
I have them in 5.
Okay.
I mean, can you even imagine if they had Derrick Rose right now?
See, that's would you have made them a finals potential winner of the Eastern Conference Finals?
I mean, I already have them in against the Heat in the finals for the Eastern Conference.
Would they have? All right, so I don't think they have a chance.
I don't think they're going to be
against the Heat without Rose. If they had Rose, 400%, the Rose that we think, the Rose that was up against the Heat a few years ago, and then they lost in 5 with Rose that time. Would Rose on this team give them a chance at being even a finals winner or Eastern Conference Finals winner?
I could see them being an Eastern Conference Finals winner, maybe. I wouldn't predict that, even if they had Derrick Rose, and I don't see them beating the Thunders, the Clippers, the Spurs of the world. But that's a big what if.
Yeah, exactly. So that's interesting. I feel like with regard to the Bulls, you know, they're 4.5-point favorite in that first game. That's definitely larger than I expected. I kind of wish the Wizards had home court to make this feel like a better series.
Yeah,
I
know that'd be completely fair. In my opinion, that's a 50-50 toss up right there. If they have home court.
That gives me a little bit more. I get a little bit extra going there. But those are two of the most competitive series, and that's TNT on Sunday night there. Two games that I think I'm really excited to watch. What's interesting is the two earlier games on Sunday, that's Dallas and San Antonio, Charlotte and Miami. Combined wins for Dallas and Charlotte in these series, over under 1.5.
Under. I'd say...
Really?
I'd say Dallas wins a game.
Interesting. And by the way, I think San Antonio has won 9 straight games against the Dallas Mavericks?
Right, and I think there's that stat, the Big 3 era, the Heat have never lost to the Bobcats.
Yes, 15-0, I'm pretty sure, yes.
I don't think it's going to start
anytime
soon.
You don't think so? I think they win at least 1, maybe 2. Al Jefferson has a game. Kemba Walker, who has been, Kemba Walker, best plus-minus guy for the Bobcats. With him on the floor, it's over plus 100 this season. And then without him on the floor, they're negative as far as the points go, you know, your overall point spread. So, you don't think they even win one game? We'll start off with the Bobcats then.
I mean, if you think about Kemba Walker, if he was on the Heat, what number option would he be? He'd be a...
Four? Yeah, gotta be fourth. Yeah, there's nobody else who would
option.
I mean, combat him.
Is that really...
Well, wait. Wade? Oh, no. I'm just trying to think from outside the arc. Nah, yeah, you're right. Fourth. Has to be fourth.
And if that's who you're depending on, and you're gonna be the fourth best player on the other team, do they really have a shot?
I think Al Jefferson's better than Wade.
Really?
Yes. It's tough to...
Okay. It really depends on health. I mean, I think Dwayne Wade is pretty rested for the playoffs.
How many minutes does he play a game?
In the playoffs?
Yes.
30 to 35?
Interesting. I think that makes sense. I think I would lean towards the lower just because...
I mean, if they're crushing the Bobcats...
Well, of course. I just
then,
mean... all right. My series, at least the Bobcats are in one of these first two games. In the game that goes to maybe overtime, I'm guessing there's gonna be one overtime game in this Bobcat series. All right, one overtime game or at least one game in the first two in Miami that goes to the last possession or two. All right, in that game, I don't know if Wade plays more than 30 minutes. I just don't. That's really a great question. Is Wade gonna be able to survive the playoffs? He did play a lot of 30 minutes in March and April. I like it. I see a 37-minute game against Brooklyn. I just don't know if I can trust a team that the Heat are definitely my my favorite to come out of the East, even though I think the Pacers, I have my dark horse finals and I have my safe finals.
Are the Pacers a dark horse by this point? I mean,
they're a huge dark horse by this point, the Pacers. It's nuts, and we'll get to that.
I can't wait to talk about that.
It's hilarious. The Heat swept the Bobcats in the regular season. I still think the Bobcats win 1, maybe 2. Jefferson has a game. Kemba is able to will them, and that's 1.5 for me. And that's why I think it's more than 1.5 for the combined between Dallas and the Bobcats. I think it's 1 each,
okay,
maybe 2.
I was trying to see. I know Al Jefferson left the... game 2 days ago with a knee contusion. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I was trying to see if they're saying anything about that effect it might have.
Was that the second to last game of the season or the last game of the season? I think it was the last game of the season.
I think it might have been the last game.
Interesting. He did return. There was no information. I don't think I saw an update afterwards. I'm seeing...
I mean, I'm sure he'll play. I just don't know what...
No, that's fine. That definitely helps. I did not... It didn't come to mind. I think it's because it wasn't covered. Well, the weird thing is, by the way, I'm pretty sure this might be the first time in Bobcats history. I know Sean Grandy was talking about this on the Celtics broadcast. First time in Bobcats history that they're on ABC. It's possible. The last time they were on TNT was like 2 years ago. It was like the last game of the season. It made no sense. You know, it was just, you know, the end of the game, end of the season. They want to get them on TV. They're on national television maybe once a year. It's hilarious. Oh, by the way, Bobcats, how many wins do you think they have their franchise postseason history?
Does that include the Hornets?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, wait. Charlotte Bobcats, just the Bobcats.
Just the Bobcats?
Yes, just the Bobcats. Do they have any?
I don't think they've won any.
How many times have they been in the playoffs?
You know, I can't even remember a Bobcats playoff team.
Steven Jackson, 2010. This is it. Under Larry Brown, they faced the Orlando Magic in the first round in 2010. Didn't win a game.
Yeah,
that was it.
Got swept. I think that's the year the Magic also destroyed the Hawks in the next round, if I remember correctly.
I think so. See, that's interesting. So, it's I still think they get their first win in franchise history. So, that's where I'm going. They get one. But the Heat, if the Heat are pushed to six games, is there any pressure whatsoever?
I mean, there's pressure, obviously, but they're going to be able to handle it if it comes down to that.
Because they've been against the wall so many times.
As your dad said, Michael Jordan's not walking through the door.
For the Bobcats. He's not walking through the door for any team. We could use that. Oh, that's great. that's a great team. All right, so you're going in four?
Going in four.
And then for San Antonio, you're going in five. Dirk Nowitzki wins a game?
Yeah, I mean, it's Dirk Nowitzki. He's been here before.
Yeah, that makes sense. That does. I do. That Dallas team, Monte Ellis, has been a fantastic player. Maybe it's arguably his best season of his career. Most efficient year of his career just because of what he's doing for that offense. The defense is horrible. I think they're statistically okay from what I remember. I always mess this one up just from whenever I check out the Dallas. No, they're terrible. They're terrible statistically, terrible everywhere as far as offense goes. It's bad.
Offense or defense?
I'm sorry, defense. Thank you.
I mean,
offense is one of the best.
Has Mark Cuban ever had a good defensive team?
Tyson Chandler years when they upset the. Well, I think they upset the Lakers in that first round to go and went on to win the finals. I think that year they were a fantastic shot making team, but I think they were good enough defensively that allowed for them, because you have to, most likely you have to be elite in both areas. Yeah, top 10 that year in defense. So. But the problem is that the team that he put together wasn't even supposed to make the playoffs. It's amazing that they, after last year, didn't make it, but made it this year. I just really enjoy Ellis, so that's why I like Monte Ellis. Montel was a great signing.
I mean, if you want to talk about great signings, last offseason, I think Monte Ellis.
Millsap?
Paul Millsap. I mean, Paul Millsap for the Hawks has been incredible, especially without Al Horford for most of the season. He's really been that guy, and he's such a great deal. I think they're paying him $11 million a year.
I don't even know it's that much.
It might be less. I know it's some very low number.
It was
something when I saw it, it didn't make sense.
Exactly. You kind of felt, because he's still on the, do I see 8 million or 9?
8 million.
See, I think with regard to Millsap,
I don't know how they got that. He should fire his agent immediately.
It's really interesting is, and by the way, Jefferson's definitely part of that group as well, both former Jazz players there. And, it's amazing. And we'll jump to the Hawks and Pacers here. The Hawks, if anything, got a nice draw. They pulverized the Pacers.
Happy. I mean, if the Hawks were playing the Heat, it wouldn't even be worth discussing it. We know the Heat would probably sweep them and maybe beat them by 25 points every game. But now they're playing the Pacers, a team they're 2-2 against in the regular season. They played them last week or 2 weeks ago.
April 6th,
25 points and held them to 23 first half points.
And that was the lowest in Pacers history?
Lowest in Pacers history.
Lowest for the Hawks opponent in franchise history as well?
I would assume.
Pretty sure, yeah.
And this is a Hawks team that matches up pretty well against the Pacers. We have Kyle Korver, Jeff Teague shooting from outside that the Pacers can't seem to handle for some reason. I mean, Roy Hibbert's playing terribly for the Pacers, in my opinion, these last couple of weeks. We all know about Paul George, his struggles.
They don't have a point guard? They barely have a point guard.
I don't want to call an upset. I don't want to call it an upset, but I think this is definitely on upset alert, not only for me. A lot of people are saying it. I think most people are picking the Pacers in six just because is this Hawks team that's way below 500, really shouldn't be in the playoffs, and I understand that. But once again, basketball is all about matchups, and I really like this matchup for the Hawks.
The last time they were the 8th seed, is it correct that the last time they were an 8th seed was 2008?
Right, and one of my favorite series of all time.
The Zaza series?
Hawks against the Celtics. No one believed in them. No one even cared. This is Atlanta.
Yeah, no, you're right. No
Atlanta
one did.
Basketball. Yeah. No one cared. And all of a sudden, they're going up against the Celtics, the big bad Celtics, which is why Kevin Garnett's my least favorite player of all time.
Wow.
And
because of that Zaza scuffle? Or just the series
which
in general?
Which is why I can go talk about the Nets for a little bit. It's my least favorite team.
I'm not surprised.
It has Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Joe Johnson.
If Josh Smith joined that team, would you just, it's kind of like those t-shirts I think in Boston, you know, if your favorite team is the Red Sox, your second favorite team is whoever's playing the Yankees.
Right.
Would Josh Smith make it complete?
Oh, definitely. Okay. I mean, what a terrible player.
By the way, one last thing on the Hawks there, or a few more things on the Hawks. What percentage of Josh Smith has Millsap been this year? Has he been 150%, 200%? As far as the efficiency, how good he has been compared to what Josh Smith did for this team over the last few years.
I mean, thank God Paul Millsap isn't hanging out on the perimeter and shooting threes just because he made one like 3 weeks ago, which is what Josh Smith liked to do. I mean, I think Josh Smith obviously is probably a more athletic, more dynamic, more talented player, but Paul Millsap has that efficiency that you're talking about that makes him a better team player. So I think it's kind of hard to compare the two.
Because they play similar positions.
They play the same. They're both playing the four.
I'm sorry. Josh Smith is the 3.4. And
3.14.
Yeah, thank you. Very nice. Very nice. Well, we are very nerdy on this show today. And I think Millsap is the 4.4, the actual playing of the four position. He does shoot threes. I'm pretty sure I've seen him attempt. Is it one or two a game, or is it a little bit less than that? I'm trying to remember. It's more than you'd expect, but
he shoots 36% from three.
It's not bad. And I think, what, did you attempt two a game?
Let's see what...
Attempts three a game, which is a lot.
Let's see what Josh Smith shot from
three.
Oh,
jeez. What did he attempt? Six a game? Five a game?
He attempted three and a half a game.
Okay.
Shot 26%.
See, isn't that crazy? You don't think of... I think the reason why Millsap doesn't get talked about as a three-point shooter is because he doesn't screw him up. He actually knows what he's doing. 26%, is that his career low from Beth Smith?
His career shooting percentage is 27%.
From three?
Thank you, Josh Smith, from three.
He is so bad. And we're talking more Hawks and Pacers on KWR, Clayton 90.3. And it's hilarious. It is. And Dana and I was just talking about just how bad. Is this one of your favorite Hawks teams?
Probably not my favorite.
Okay.
Just because the Zazas are gone.
Yeah. You guys could have used him from Milwaukee. That would
really
be nice this year.
We could have used him. This is a very interesting team. I mean, who would have thought Kyle Korver would be an integral part of a playoff team? Obviously, the Hawks maybe aren't actually a playoff team, but we're in the playoffs. That's all that matters. Jeff Teague is really coming to his own. It's very nice to see the Hawks actually draft a player and develop him into an actual starter, which is something the Hawks haven't been able to do outside of Al Horford. I mean,
can they do it with his brother?
I mean, probably not as much talent as... are you talking about Teague or Horford?
Wait, you're right. It could be both. Where is Marcus right now? Chicago?
I believe so. I mean, he got... Oh, yeah, Jeff Teague crossed him up.
Yeah, that was great.
That was great. I mean, it showed which one... Jeff Teague's way more talented.
And then...
Al Horford's brother, I don't think, is even going to be an NBA player.
Okay. Because I've seen him, and he looks eerily similar, but he looks thinner. Similar. It's really funny. With regard to Millsap, he has averaged his most single-season points, free throws per game for his career. Same thing for Jeff Teague. Great seasons for both of them.
Right. They've really had to step up after Horford's gone. I mean, if Horford was in this, the beginning of the season, the Hawks
third best
like
team, right?
The top of the second tier. After the Pacers, the Heat, they were at the top of that tier.
Now it's the Toronto Raptors.
Now it's the Drake-led Toronto Raptors. It's going to be interesting to see. I think without Horford, I would have easily picked the Hawks to upset the Pacers in this. Without Al Horford, it's a lot tougher. Paro Antic has kind of been the Zaza Pachulia of this new Hawks team.
I do like Paro. He didn't get to play in the rookie sophomore challenge. I think he was injured at that point. But I really want... he loves jacking up those threes. That wasn't the perfect game for him.
Right, and he's actually been... I've seen the numbers. He's matched up very well against the Pacers in the games that he's played against them. So Honestly, I wouldn't sleep on this Hawks team. I think a lot of people aren't because people are so down on Indiana. It's kind of the cool thing to do at this point, just beat up on Indiana lately. But I think it's going to be at least six games.
I was thinking about the Peruantich idea. Is Hibbert going to be able to play when he's out there? How is that going to work? Peruantich could be your five all game if you want him to be. Right? Who else is playing at the five for you guys?
That's it's pretty thin.
So
that's the real problem. Where does Hawks.
Yeah? So it's offense, defense. Is the defense going to be able to step up against a team that can play in the interior like Indiana can? And Indiana prevents two pointers so well. The defense is interesting on the 3-point line. If you guys can be hitting those threes, this is where I'm liking Portland as well and liking some of these teams.
I mean, talk about teams that depend on threes. We have Kyle Korver out there almost at all times, just ready to jack up some threes. So I think it's a very dangerous team.
I'm looking at your center position. You guys, Elton Brand, he's going to play enough, right? I'm going to guess he'll play a lot in this series.
He hasn't really played that much.
Would he be good, though, in a game against... Because he's playing 20, 30 minutes, right? 20 minutes of the season or so? I know he played 30 against the Celts.
He's playing like 15 to 20.
So, no Bynum for Indiana. It's an interesting situation for these games here. I like it in six. I think that's solid. It still could be five. That's why I'm like, but Pacers, I like them enough that I think they'll be okay. And I think they're actually gonna. It's gonna. Well, by the way, the last time, you know, when they were the 8 seed, the Hawks, that might have been some of the craziest blowouts though. You know what was the weird thing about, like, so many blowouts in that series, even though it was a 4-3 series.
Right.
Do you think that could happen in this series? Like, the Hawks just blow the Pacers out in one or two games?
I mean, if we look at what's happened in the regular season, that's exactly what's happened. I mean, the Hawks, I mean, it's 2-2, but the Hawks have a 4 or 5 point differential, positive point differential over those games. I'm excited to see what happens. What's the next series you want to talk about?
All right, so we can keep going back on we're going to, you know, keep moving closer to us, and then we'll finish off with Memphis and Oklahoma City, that night game on Saturday. Golden State and Los Angeles. The Clippers, not the Lakers, are in the playoffs. Clippers taking over Los Angeles, and they'll be hosting the Golden State Warriors Saturday afternoon on ABC. That is a pretty marquee matchup. Unfortunately, no Andrew Bogut, and that's why a lot of people are shying away from Golden State as their sleeper pick. Is it six games, or is it going to be an easy 5 or 4 for Los Angeles?
First of all, who knew LA had so many Clippers fans all of a sudden?
Ah, yes.
Diehard Clippers fans. As you said, with Andrew Bogut, the Warriors are a very dangerous team. It's kind of hard to... We haven't really seen what they can do without him.
Yeah.
It's really hard to pick them to do very well against this obviously stacked Clippers team. I don't see it being as close of a series as it would have been with Bogut. But I still think the Warriors will give them a pretty good shot. They still have Steph Curry. They still have that playoff experience that they've gained in the past couple of years. I see this going six games.
Hmm. Interesting. Is that a Curry game? That's a... Well, is Klay Thompson going to be able to catch fire and score 30 or 40 in a game, you think?
He has the ability to. That's...
He's going to have a lot of open shots, no matter how little they... And by the way, Jermaine O'Neal, could he... be an X factor? I know he's not going to be one if he gets injured in the first game after playing 35 minutes. He's had a great season. Arguably one of his best in a long time. And this is after a few years of just devastating, can't play, I'm just on the bench situations. Right. I'm guessing there's a chance he could do something. So he's close. He's close to what Bogut can do, but I think the problem is moving him into the starting role, or I think he would be moving in the starting role. And then, of course, David Lee, the injury wonder, would that be? I'm trying to think of how to describe him. He's so good. He's so much better than people. Well, he like bounces around. He's like always a little overrated or always a little underrated. He never finds that, like, okay, he's always going to give you a double-double, and he's like the Kevin Love Jr., but I just don't know if this team has enough to make it, you know, a seven-game series or to get three wins in this series. So, yeah, you're right. I think I understand where you're coming from, and I think I'd agree with you there. On the season, Golden State did take two of the four in the series, but I'm pretty sure Bogut played at least three or four of those games. So, yeah, I think that's... Maybe it's now being talked about too much, the Bogut situation,
mm-hmm.
but I think it definitely can't be ignored. All right, so I think we're... We're good there. We have two more series remaining. Brooklyn, Toronto. Now, this...
Probably the most interesting series, right? In my opinion.
So you have quite a few very competitive series. In almost every one, there should be... And then, well, I guess for me, I don't know if I see any sweeps. This one could go four games or five games. This one could go seven games. I have no idea. Brooklyn can just put the kibosh on them. But Toronto also has had one of the most underrated seasons. Maybe one of the best. I think it is one of the best seasons in franchise history. Are they good enough to win the series?
I think they're good enough. That's not going to be the problem. I think, I mean, it's also every time you talk about a series, you talk about experience. Can the Raptors, who have almost no playoff experience, match up with basically the Celtics in Nets jerseys with their tons of playoff experience? We really don't know. I mean, if they can meet the pressure, they can run rings around the Nets as far as athleticism, youth, agility, speed, everything. I mean, Terrence Ross, all those players. Can Kevin Garnett really keep up with them? Can Paul Pierce? Joe Johnson. Does he ever step up in the playoffs besides that one series against the Celtics?
This could be the year. You think without Brook Lopez, he has been the leading scorer. He has been the alpha male, if you want to say. Could Joe Johnson, could this be his postseason? You know, could this be the reason why this team is tasting the Eastern Conference Finals? You know, the Toronto Raptors, by the way, haven't won a series since 2001. I'm just not seeing that they can. I think Joe Johnson goes nuts this postseason.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him in the postseason many times. There's some games where obviously he steps up the very last second. He's a good clutch shooter. I always say he's a good clutch shooter because he just doesn't care that much.
You're right.
So he doesn't feel the pressure.
So does Jeff Green and Joe Johnson, do those like fall right in the same category there? You remember like the Jeff Green corner three against Miami? I think it was like early in the season. Jeff Green's had quite a few big wins. And maybe this is just my inner Celtics coming out here. But aren't they a very similar player in that instance?
I guess, but here's the problem. Joe Johnson on the Hawks was the number one option. He's not a number one option player. He's a good three.
But he's the number one option right now, right?
Right.
Okay.
And here's that's the problem. When this team is being built, he was supposed to be the three. You know, he's supposed to be with Paul Pierce. Garnett, honestly, isn't playing that much, right?
I think he plays a good amount in the postseason. Last year, this was just 360 days ago or so, he got three consecutive games of 17 rebounds. At least 17. It was unbelievable. He was, if anything, the Celtics could have won that series, too. The Knicks were terrible. We knew that when they faced the Pacers. They were terrible. But the Celtics could have upset a team that was much better than them because of Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce leading the show. No Rajon Rondo. This is why I came up with, you know, I was bringing back a little bit of the Celtics here. Jeff Green. The guys who were, and this is a similar, you know, similar players here. It's just, I think that Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett are ready for the postseason. This is what they were doing. This is the Popovich situation, and it was the underrated Popovich situation. It was what they were doing in Miami with Dwayne Wade, and we'll see what happens with Wade. I think Brooklyn's ready, and I think that's why Joe Johnson is able to hit that upper echelon because of the rest of the team being at their finest. And Deron Williams is not going to take over because he's not that type of player. I know he can take over. He did in the past. I just don't think that he's ready to run the show. I think Joe Johnson is your guy who's running the show.
You know who I really love for the Nets is Mason Plumlee.
Ooh, interesting.
I mean,
very interesting.
He's shooting 66% from the field because Jason Kidd has a rule on this poor guy that he's not allowed to take shots outside the paint.
Oh, you ever seen him take a shot from outside the paint?
I have not.
I'm pretty sure from what I remember his Duke days, it was ugly.
I mean, he's forbidden.
It's ugly.
He has only taken 9 shots outside the paint, and most of those have been buzzer-beating heaves.
That's great.
He's 0 for 9 outside the paint, but he's shooting, whatever, 66% in the paint. And he's really been stepping up lately. I mean, he's looked pretty solid, a good option for the Nets off the bench.
It's fantastic. It really is. And we'll get to our picks in the Brooklyn Nets series with the Toronto Raptors after this public service announcement.
If someone you know is thinking of dropping out, talk to them. It could be the one thing that keeps them going. Go to boostup.org to learn more. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
All right, so let's talk about Raptors, by the way. I know we talked a lot about the Nets there, and if anything, the Nets are the other quote-unquote dark horse to come out of the East, right? I think the Nets and Bulls, for different reasons, are in the same situation. Oh, it's perfect. The odds are, the odds spell this out. Nets, Bulls, third, tied for the odds coming out of the East. Heat and Pacers, one and two, respectively. I know you like your Bulls. Bulls get knocked out in the first round. Do you like your Nets as your other opportunistic team coming out of the East?
I like them. I think they're definitely going to win this series.
Definitely? Five or six?
I think, let's go with six.
I think at least go six. I think you're absolutely right.
I mean, the Raptors are good. I mean, both these teams have been two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference since the All-Star game, or All-Star break.
Does Toronto win the first game and everybody overreacts and counts the Nets out?
That sounds like a good storyline for me.
I think that's what happens. Because, oh, veteran savvy goes down and they can't. Oh, Kyle Lowry has a great first game. You know, it's just.
Are you saying, can the Nets beat Miami? Is that, I mean, that's what.
That was a little bit of the question. It was.
No.
Okay, you don't. No chance?
No chance.
All right. Regular season series. Swept them. All right. I think I was talking with Brad last week. Sweeping the series in the regular season is not conducive to winning a title. I'm sorry, the opposite. The getting swept is not conducive to winning the title. I'm going to throw a little bit on Miami here and kind of include the Nets. The Spurs were swept by the Thunder. We'll get to the Thunder. I'm trying to think, did the Spurs also get swept by the Rockets? But whatever. All right, well, the Spurs got swept. The Heat also got swept. Last team to do it, I think, is as far as win a title when being swept by a team during the regular season, that was 2001, the Lakers. It's only happened three times in NBA history. Can the Heat win a championship even though they were swept? I know statistically it's a random fact there, but is this team who's played 300, it's going to be playing about 300 games over the last three seasons, almost close to 400, I think they're on 375 in the last four seasons. I think the Nets might be able to stay with the Heat in a series like that. And then that's why the Heat aren't in a good position to win the finals this year.
Why do you think the Nets were so good against the Heat in the regular season?
Size. So you have Plumlee. We talked about that. Then you have, and this is different games. You know, Pierce played a lot. You know, Pierce and Garnett, they know this Heat team. It's kind of like the Red Sox and Mariano Rivera. You know, the idea that the guys who have been the champions, the guys who have done so well and are so successful, have a little bit of that extra know-how experience against a Heat team. Joe Johnson, pretty clutch shooter, can add that. Darren Williams can play a good point guard position. Sean Livingston off the bench, pretty solid. I just like there's a lot there that can really frustrate a Heat team that we don't know what the rest of the team can offer if LeBron James isn't able to take over or able to even score 30 or 40 points.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of what I'm thinking about is the first round matchups and how much it'll take out of these teams. So I don't think Charlotte's going to take that much out of the Heat. Dwayne Wade is going to be able to sit a fair number of minutes.
Does he play 100 minutes in that series?
I think he will, but I think he'll sit a fair amount and for the second round will be refreshed versus Brooklyn, who has to play Toronto, who's going to run them around like crazy.
Yeah, that's a good
it's
point.
It's going to be like a dad playing with his child. And by the end, Kerrigan, that's going to be huffing and puffing. Paul Pierce could be saying, oh, my back, and come out on a wheelchair.
Ah, very well played. I knew that was coming somewhere. I think it was because I added that extra Celtics reference. I think that might have been the reason. you did give the Celtics huge, huge trouble. The Celtics fans didn't have any idea they were going to win the championship in 08 after that series against Atlanta. I was at game eight, game seven against Atlanta. Oh, jeez, it was scary. But yeah, so thanks to the wheelchair thing. All right, so I think that's the second mention of it in the last three shows I've been on with you.
It really bothers me. That's when I think Celtics, I think Paul Pierce faking injuries and being
Him coming down the floor every time. You know, his little dance down the floor. It's like the Antoine wiggle, but it's in his own little motion, it's slow motion. So. Toronto Raptors, if they win, they have a chance against the Heat?
No.
So the Nets have a better chance?
The Nets have a better chance.
Let's extend then. Nets against the Heat here.
Nets against the Heat? I mean, I honestly did not know that the Nets swept the Heat in the regular season. That's a pretty important stat. I just think that the Heat are able to turn on come playoff time. They always seem to be able to, at least in the past couple of years. The Nets are old. They don't have experience in the coaching position. The Heat do. I just don't see it happening in the playoffs, but it's going to be a great series. I mean, talk about lots of Hall of Famers all in one place.
Got that right.
You have, I mean, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett. I don't know if Darren Williams one day, maybe.
Is like the Joe Johnson, Darren Williams slash kind of make it kind of one?
One real player.
Yeah, I like that. There you go.
And then obviously you have LeBron, Dwayne Wade, I don't know about Chris Bosh.
You don't think so?
I haven't even thought about him as a Hall of Famer in the future. I guess so.
That's a tough one. You're right. Because he's not Robert Horry. He's definitely better than Robert Horry. It's an interesting situation. I know that's a good one. By the way, Nets, the three wins in regulation this season, all by 1 point over the Heat. The only other victory in overtime. So, most likely, that series would be a lot of fun. You don't want to see the Raptors win this series. That's the crazy thing. The Raptors have the potential to win this series against the Nets. Don't have a good situation against Miami. I think that's what it is. It just wouldn't... ABC would be really annoyed. And by the way, Miami swept Toronto.
Also, Drake-favorited teams are 0-1 so far in playoff/March Madness games this year. Just a fun stat for you, stat to
have. Thank you. He was at the national championship game, correct?
He was, and all of a sudden, he was the biggest Kentucky fan. Who knew? Drake from Toronto was a big Kentucky fan. So, obviously, he is a real Raptors fan.
Wiggins is from Toronto. He wouldn't have wanted to root Wiggins for the team that came Toronto out in the second round.
was that all the... Did we do all
we
the
did games? Not touch on Oklahoma City because we wanted to jump to Atlanta. You know, we really wanted to talk so much. And we can really go back to Atlanta and talk so much more of Hawks basketball. I love talking Hawks basketball. Memphis at Oklahoma City. Once again, I'm gonna preface it with this question. Does the lower seed have a chance?
Definitely have a chance in this one.
Had a chance to win the series. It's more of a chance to push the series than win the series.
There's a chance. I don't think it's going to happen, but I mean, if you're the Thunder, you're not happy about having to play the Grizzlies in the first round, even though you got that 2 seed. Obviously, the West is very strong this year, but the Grizzlies are not a team that anyone really wants to face in the playoffs. You have Marc Gasol, obviously. You have Mike Conley, who has become one of the better, top echelon point guards in this league.
Yeah.
Obviously, this year, the big difference is Russell Westbrook is back. He's playing well. He appears to be healthy. I think that's going to be too much for the Grizzlies eventually compared to, I guess, last year. But it's going to be a great matchup. I think this might be the most exciting matchup.
Interesting.
Quite possibly.
The Oklahoma City Thunder, I think I had something from ESPN Stats and Info that I wanted to talk about. Okay. Oklahoma City entered the All-Star break with NBA's best win-loss record since 2007-2008. The year the Celtics won the championship. Thank you very much. Wheelchair and all. Since 2007-2008, teams with at least a share of the best record at the break have reached the NBA Finals 5 times. That's a high percentage out of those seasons since 2008. This will be the 7th season since 2008. Do you think Oklahoma City is your... Do you like them going to the finals?
I do. I like my finals is Thunder, Heat. We have a new rivalry.
Yes.
I mean, not new, but LeBron, Durant, could that be the best rivalry since Magic Bird? Can you think of a better one? I mean, Karl Malone, Michael Jordan, this doesn't have a good ring to it. Ring, especially for Karl Malone.
Ah.
Sorry, Carl.
I'm sure he's listening.
I think that... It's what everyone wants.
Yeah.
I think the Clippers have a shot. That's my
one. My favorite series, you know, the rematch is kind of like the expected series for me. But my little, like, my Clippers, you know, with Doc Rivers is just that extra one. Blake Griffin's taking an extra step. DeAndre Jordan's taking an extra step. Chris Paul got a nice little rest during the regular season, even though it was an injury. Ready for the playoffs. Jamal Crawford can win you a game or two.
They're stacked on their bench.
Danny Granger. We'll see if Glenn Davis plays at all, but just another guy if somebody goes down. It's Darren Collison I mentioned earlier in the show. It's a lot of players, and that's why, and then we'll go into a little bit more of our finals look. That's why I like the Clippers and Pacers. I talked about just the others. C.J. Watson for the Pacers. When he plays at least 20 minutes this season, I think this stayed at the same stat at the end of the season because he didn't play that much near the end. I'm pretty sure their record 20-1 when he's played at least 20 minutes this season. I know it's, you know, random regular season game, but having a guy off the bench who can patrol you, who was on the Brooklyn Nets last year, I think, you know, went out in the first round 7 games to Brooklyn. To Chicago. I really like their bench better than they used to have as far as their bench. Evan Turner's an interesting one. I know he's actually had some experience in the playoffs. really took the Celtics to seven games. That was 2 years ago when they faced each other in the second round after Derrick Rose got injured. This is why I like this team, and we'll see if LaVoy Allen plays all. But I think there's enough on this Pacers team that I like going to the finals. So your finals pick, I have my safe and my fun pick. Is there a fun pick that you could see as far as dark horses that come out?
Dark horses that come out. Honestly, from the East, I just don't see anyone besides Miami. I don't see any team able to challenge them.
All right, so I'll knock it down a peg then. Wade gets injured. Brooklyn or Chicago?
I think Brooklyn probably has more to offer. They have a higher ceiling probably than Chicago has just because of their inept offense. So yeah. I guess I have to go with Brooklyn. But out of the West, it really... I mean, no one's talking about the Spurs, the best team in...
Exactly. That's why I'm thinking the rematch is really what I expected, I think, would be a series for that.
I could see the Spurs. I could see the Clippers. I could see the Thunder. I mean, any of these teams in the West could make it. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be very exciting. I'm really glad that it's finally NBA playoff time, and I'm glad I was able to do the show where we talked about it.
It's a lot of fun. This is maybe one of my favorite just discussions. We had quite a few other topics we could have talked about, but this was exciting. This is a lot of fun. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Anything is possible.
And I'm so glad you guys are facing the Pacers over the Heat. That'll make it a lot more fun to watch Hawks basketball. Kind of wish Joe Johnson was back in a Hawks jersey. I'm not sure you do, though.
No. We have Kyle Korver. We don't need him.
What a great way to go out on. Thank you very much for the Kyle Korver mentions throughout the show. Hopefully he ends up putting up, 100 three-pointers in this playoffs?
105.
Perfect. All right. We'll go out on that. Thank you very much. Everybody have a great week and enjoy the NBA playoffs.